football on off the ball.
So Arsenal fans go, if we don't win the league, it will be slightly offset by Spurs going down. And Spurs say, well, if we do go down, it will be offset by Arsenal not winning the league. So there is, you know, they're going to be drowning their sorrows in Schadenfreude, I think, to an extent.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official staff sponsor of the GAA.
Okay, it is Power Rankings time and it is hurling time. We did the football yesterday with Tommy Rooney. We have the hurling today. Every Wednesday we will be coming out with our hurling Power Rankings with the one and only king of the hurling Power Rankings, Mr. Will O'Callaghan. How are you doing, Will?
What a title to be bestowed upon me, Michael. But, you know, it's a crown that I will try and wear lightly, at least. Really? Tommy seemed far more concerned about this than I was. You know, if someone comes up to me and talks about the Power Rankings, a few years ago, I remember I put Galway right down the middle. And a few people used to stop me at games and stuff like that and go, how'd you ever do that to Galway? And then we had a bit of a laugh about it because Galway didn't qualify from Leinster that year. I don't take this personally. If you want to come up to me and have a go about the way that we're going to rank these teams over the next few weeks on the Power Rankings, by all means do. Tommy felt like he had actually not got a night's sleep. He'd spent most of his holidays thinking about the Power Ranking as opposed to enjoying himself at the moment.
And I wouldn't mind that. He's paralysed by fear. He only moves teams like one or two places. Like, it's like, you know, Westmeath could come out and beat Dublin by 100 goals and he'd probably move them up from 19 to 18, you know?
I would argue, you know, we have the National League tables for the best part to be able to do the rankings the way Tommy's doing it at the moment. It's like, I watched it this morning, yesterday's podcast.
Shots fired already.
Of course it is. But I'm thinking, look, if Leitrim get this 15-year win against Sligo, and I appreciate you're going, but Sligo set up in Division 3. No. Vibe it a little bit. Put Leitrim up ahead of Sligo. And then if Leitrim lose against Galway, by all means, drop them back down again. These are Power Rankings. This is your opinion right now today.
No,
and when
science.
I saw that he dropped Offaly, I was thinking, look, Leash had beaten Offaly. By all means, flick Leash quite a bit ahead of them. Drop Offaly down. It doesn't matter that they played in Division 2 of the league. You know, we had the league tables for that. I can go read the league tables if I want. But these are Power Rankings. We're going to move people up and down.
Okay, well, look, I'm a parent of two and I'm a Power Ranking parent of two and I love my two Power Rankings equally, so please don't make me choose between them. Tommy has a scientific method, you have a vibe method. We'll see which one works out over the course of the year. You've a few less teams to choose from. We're going to go with the All-Ireland teams this year. Power Rankings on Off the Ball are with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA, and we will be getting to the Harvey Norman stat of the week a little bit later on in the rankings. But Will, this is the seasonal debut, I do believe, this year. So I can expect as your big reveal, this is your first reveal. So from here on in, it'll be up and downs. But this is your reveal, so you can expect a lot of horror and irrational anger, I suppose, in the comments over the next while, or when you're at matches over the next few weeks. But are you ready to kick it off?
I am. And this is the, I think, in terms of like starting off the year, I think this might be Kildare at getting in for the first time, when we talk about the fact that, you know, we're just going to do the counties from the Munster Championship and Leinster Championship. So as people will be well aware at this stage, Kildare have made massive breakthroughs in recent times. A few years ago, we were waiting to see if they would come out of Division 2A. They did go up to Division 1B proper, played Division 1 hurling for the first time in 46 seasons, toppled all sorts of records along the way, you know, beating Antrim for the first time since the 1980s to ensure that they would finish mid-table in Division 1B. And crucially now, they go into the Leinster Championship proper for the first time in over 20 years, which is a remarkable achievement for Kildare. We always want to bring, you know, new teams back up into the top table. And what Brian Dowling has done so far with this Kildare team has just been kind of consistent improvement along the way. They were incredibly impressive at Croke Park against Laois in the Joe McDonagh Cup final last year. Okay, they celebrated that, as is their wont. Didn't quite follow it up with Dublin in the preliminary quarterfinals. Thankfully, the preliminary quarterfinals are no more from this year, so we're not going to see these kind of one-sided beatings that have been happening, with the only exception being Laois against Dublin back in 2019. So Kildare, now their reward for winning the Joe McDonagh last season is a step up into the Leinster Championship proper for next year, and they come in at number 11 in our power rankings.
We see that there, yeah. And I think we'll focus on them a little bit more and then we'll go through the rest of them, because they are our county story of the week this week, because it is, as you mentioned, their first time in the big time. I went to see the All-Ireland Under-21 final in, I'm going to say 2014. It was in the middle of Clare's runs of winning many Under-21 All-Irelands. They beat Wexford and Thurles. And the B final, as they used to have back then, was Kildare and Roscommon. And I remember watching the match thinking, there's some good hurlers here. You know, like at a, mm. the, little bit of a connection to some hurlers in North Kildare, and you've been to a few matches, and, you know, again, good hurling, but not... You kind of just think, like, where's the players going to come from? Is there enough clubs and all? But you didn't really have this in your head. And then I went to see them against Clare in the 1B match in Newbridge this year, packed out Newbridge. Now, there was a good Clare crowd up there, but there was a bloody good Kildare crowd as well. It was an awful night, like absolutely torrential, horrible rain. And Kildare were brilliant, right? I don't think anybody expects them to be able to live with Clare over the course of the season, and they caught him on a bad rainy night in the winter, and that's fine, and Clare had too much for them in the end, but they came back, they got a late goal, they just stuck in the game, and I was just really impressed with them. I was really impressed by like six or seven of their hurlers, and they are playing Wexford this week at home in Newbridge. I don't think it's the worst game for them to start off their Leinster Championship. I don't see them getting a hiding. Do we see any chance of an upset?
I hope they don't get a hiding. The one thing that kind of dampens expectation a little bit was the last round of the National Hurling League. Kildare played against Wexford, and you had a fair idea that Dublin were going to qualify for Division 1A for next season anyway, because they just had to finish out their own job against Carlow. So it was really a free hit for Kildare going into that game. Knew that they were safe, knew that the first round of the Leinster Championship was coming around, I think 5 weeks out from that fixture as well. And you're thinking, maybe they can just give Wexford a push, because Wexford hadn't played brilliantly against Down, had got over the line in a few matches without being particularly impressive. And you thought, right, here's a chance for Kildare to lay down a marker, and Wexford put 20 points on them. So there's always that concern that that could happen at Hawkfield on Saturday evening, but I do expect the game to be a lot closer. I agree with you. I think Kildare have got really good scoring threats across their forwards. They banged in three goals against Clare that night, which very much kept them in the game in Newbridge. I'm hoping that there's going to be a big crowd in Connolly's Park for this one as well, to get behind the Kildare hurlers now that they go back up to the top table for the first time in a generation. But there is always that concern that this is where levels come into hurling a little bit, and you can come out as the Joe McDonagh Cup champions, and then it's a struggle when you go to the senior. The fixture that they're going to have marked in the calendar is the last round back in Newbridge, where they're going to play against Offaly. In all likelihood, if things play out the way they have been so far with the form this year, that game is going to be a de facto relegation final, as has been for the last few years. Carlow played Antrim 3 years ago. Offaly played against Antrim last year. Generally, the fixtures computer in Leinster will put the two lowest ranked teams against each other on the last day, which creates that bit of drama, unless we get a surprise somewhere along the line and either Offaly or Kildare pick up points. If one or the other picks up points along the way, it's going to put huge pressure on the other team to stay up, with the bottom team being automatically relegated back down to the Joe McDonagh. So I think Kildare want to definitely get into a position where they're in a good place going into that last fixture. That's probably the most important thing. There's loads of other nice emotional games along the way. I'm sure for Brian Dowling, their manager, going back to play against Kilkenny in Nolan Park is going to be a huge day for him particularly. And he's had that weird situation this year where he was double jobbing on a lot of weekends with Kildare as well, getting wins with them on a Sunday after winning on Saturday with St. Kieran's College, who go on to win the All-Ireland Championship as well. So he's been creating this terrifically diverse CV along the way between Camogie, schools hurling, and now with the Kildare hurlers as well. And I'm just hoping that they can back up their league performances from this season when it comes to the Championship. But I'm always wary that when you look at these teams that we're going to rank over the next while, they can be quite a bit up the food chain by comparison to the teams that Kildare have been beating so far this year. Like, beating Antrim was massive, but trying to beat Wexford Dublin is a step up from that.
Yeah, we're talking about 10 and 9 in your power rankings, which you could see now, which is Offaly at 10 and Wexford at 9 as the possibilities for Kildare. And that's the level that they try to go and live with, and then they can, you know, become Leinster contenders over time. I would say their last game against Leinster, Wexford aren't worried about showing their hand to Kildare. I think Kildare, with, you know, Wexford in mind in their next game, are possibly not giving everything they can in that game, and are possibly targeting the home game in the Championship, their first round of Leinster Senior Championship in the new era. That's going to be their first game. I think they'll be hell for leather. And I think I just saw enough of them to think that they could worry Wexford. Obviously, if Wexford turn up to the top of their ability, they will beat them. But by how much, I suppose, we don't know. We've seen Wexford struggle against Antrim in recent years. We've seen them battling relegation 2 years ago. I don't know if that's a guaranteed result. But anyway, you have Offaly at 10 and Wexford at 9. Two counties who will be disappointed with their league campaigns. I think it's not that we would expect it awfully necessarily to be picking up points along the way in 1A. It's more that the gap doesn't seem to have closed from what we've seen so far this year anyway.
Yeah, look, again, as an Offaly person, this disheartening part about it is that Offaly's hurlers and footballers haven't won a single game so far this season, and they're staring down the barrel that could potentially be an entire year with defeats across the board for both the hurlers and footballers. And, you know, that kind of pessimism and negativity can start to seep in after a while. Sometimes you have a year like last year where Offaly got promoted in one Division 3 of the National Football League and went up to Division 2, and they got promoted from Division 1B of the Hurling League, and everything seems remarkably rosy and everyone's giving you a pat on the back. Oh, the Minors have won the Leinster Championship for this year, and it looks like the 220 teams from the last 4 years are now starting to come of age. The reality is, when it comes to the hurling team, there's probably too many of the under-20s who are being relied upon already at this stage. Last round of the league, I think 8 of them had started, 7 started against Galway. The injuries have been, unfortunately, very much focused on one end of the pitch, which has been the defence. They're probably without 4 of their first choice defenders for the game coming up this weekend against Dublin. They pushed Dublin at Parnell Park last year, and really it was a late rally from Dublin that won that game. I don't think the two teams are anywhere near as close to each other right now. They're going in different directions, where Dublin had their remarkable summer, you know, got their win against Limerick in the All-Ireland quarter-final, had won that preliminary quarter-final very comfortably against Kildare as well. And this year they've backed it up by getting promotion from Division 1B, which they probably should have done in 2025, but for the fact they lost 2 games effectively in, you know, injury time against both Offaly and Waterford last season, and they were the two teams who got promoted. So I kind of get that feeling that Dublin have now moved that step ahead of Offaly. Offaly maybe should have beaten Wexford last summer. I'm trying to take crumbs of comfort from the fact that they gave those two teams a good game last season, but I've seen no evidence this year to think that Offaly have actually kicked on from the 2025 version of Offaly. And also, I'm very mindful that Offaly took a couple of heavy hidings, particularly the game against Galway at home last season. And the worry would be, I can't see Offaly getting anything from Galway and Kilkenny. I think they're going to struggle to beat either Dublin or Wexford, and therefore it's just going to be another year of going down to the last game. Very nervously beat Antrim in the last fixture last season. You're hoping they can kick on. And the reality is, there was very little from Division 1A, aside from a decent performance away from home against a much change Kilkenny team at the start of the league, and a game against Waterford which was a relegation 4-pointer which Waterford still had enough to win. I think, taking into account the injuries, like, some of them have been a little bit freak. Donald Shirley picking up a knee injury just on a training camp right before a championship, horrible thing to happen that he snaps his ACL. Charlie Mitchell, who people probably heard from over the last week, was diagnosed with a heart condition just before Christmas when he was playing at Colleges Hurling. He's Offaly's captain. He's a really important player in the style that they play in as well. He's not been available so far. I'm not sure how much hurling he's going to get this year, but thankfully from his perspective, he's at least back training at this stage, Mick, and getting a little bit of time, and hopefully he might get back onto the field. Probably more important for Kilcormac Colley later in the year, but just that mounts up when you don't have that depth of panel and you're relying on an awful lot of young players and they're being thrown into the cauldron of Division 1A. It just starts to seep in a little bit that it's a losing mentality coming into Leinster this year by comparison to really, really good vibes last season.
Yeah, absolutely. Wexford, we don't need to go into, I think, again, no real arguments with 9, 10, 11 on your power rankings. Wexford still relying heavily on Lee Chin from what I saw them in the league. Liam Ryan is back, which is good, but again, like, where are the new players coming? No Rory O'Connor.
Rory O'Connor's in Australia for the summer, yeah, so he's not coming around. It looks like his brother Jack, who is captain this year, might well be fit for this weekend, which is a big boost. He was out doing media last week. He pretty much missed the league. You mentioned Liam Ryan coming back in. Like, their performances probably got better as the league went on. Ultimately, though, they got the draw against Dublin, which left them in under a bit of pressure for scoring difference.
Yeah.
And actually, the defeat against Clare was what finished their chance of going up. But I wouldn't punish them for that. I think they're still in the top 9.
But again, the that 2014 under-21 final I'm talking about, like, we're still relying on a number of those players. That might be the last group that's come. And, you know, where are the rest for Wexford, I think, is the next question. If you go back to the first page there for a second, Dara, and we'll just see, we have Dublin in 8, Waterford in 7, and a rare appearance for Kilkenny in the first page of the power rankings. They are at 6. Maybe we'll talk about that in a second. Did you consider putting Dublin ahead of Waterford coming on the back of the Limerick game last year? The fact that Dublin lived with Clare for 2 games in the league, I don't think unlucky in either, but definitely gave them a bit of a run. And Waterford had a bit of a horror show in 1A.
Yeah, I did consider it. Now, look, Waterford obviously beat Limerick in Division 1A, but that feels like a long time ago now at the start of the league. They won, you know, 2 fixtures at home, and that's going to be the issue for Waterford when it comes to the Munster Championship. But
their game against Cork was so disheartening, Will. It was like, right, here we go. This could be a big game. Are Waterford, every year we kind of think, are Waterford going to be back at the, you know, top table again? We think the hurlers are there. And they were just inept and they were hammered after 10 minutes in that game. And I remember thinking, God, it's just so disheartening for them.
Yeah, and look, I make no apologies for this. We had a listener to the Hurling Pod who tweeted this yesterday saying that the humble pie is waiting in the oven for you about Waterford, that, you know, we've won games at the start of the championship for the last two seasons, and this year now we're going to get our results to get out. And the first thing Paul Murphy put into the WhatsApp group was, I think that humble pie may well be overbaked after 2 years, given that they've, again, not got out of the championship. So the year where it reverted back to straight knockout, and this is maybe why Desi Hutchinson wants that to happen, they did run to an All-Ireland final, but when it goes to the provincial group stage, Waterford just have a horrific record. And, you know, while they've unearthed some players, and obviously like Ozzie Gleeson could be an X factor coming back in, apparently according to Peter Queeley at the weekend, he's working really hard and now he's an option. You get Jamie Barron back to fitness, and you add in the fact that Ruben Halloran's a really good free taker. It's not that like Waterford don't have a group that can't go further up on this table, and maybe they should have beaten the aforementioned Kilkenny in the league as well, and that would have propelled them into mid table as opposed to the position they finished up in. But I did consider putting Dublin ahead of them, and I think one of the main reasons I was thinking of putting Dublin ahead of them, and again, these are the power rankings, so they can change after the first weekend of fixtures that we have coming up, is that Dublin have got better personnel than they had last season. And that's without even having seen Liam Rush or knowing what impact Liam Rush could potentially have. He's obviously worked with Neil O'Kailcon before, with Nafina to great effect in the All-Ireland series. He wouldn't have brought him in if he didn't feel that Rush could add something to it. You know, Owen O'Donnell going back into the team. Now that Chris Crummy is very much, you know, a settled six within the team, it looks like they've got kind of that core right down the middle of the team, right? Keane O'Sullivan coming off the back of an All-Star year has again looked really good in the league this year. Fergal Whiteley, is there a better finisher from close range around in the country at the moment? I'm not sure. Then you've got Hedjo, who's that option to just put the ball in long as well. Dublin can beat you in a few different ways, and I just feel like they've got a better core group of players than they had last season. It's difficult to replicate the heights of knocking out a team like Limerick in an All-Ireland quarter-final, but there's no reason to think that Dublin can't get quite close to Dublin and Galway this season in terms of upsetting the order within Leinster. So yes, a long answer to your point, I did consider putting them ahead of Waterford, but I've kept Waterford just ahead of them for now.
Kilkenny in six, right, is kind of surprising to see. I don't disagree with it, so it's hard for us to have an argument here. I think you're right, but there has to be some look of, we've won the last five or six or seven, I think, Leinster championships. They always seem to manage it. They're a freak of, I don't know what, scoreboard engineering, away from at least having, they would argue, being in an All-Ireland final last year. And look, we all know they went for a goal when a point would have done, and at least we would have had extra time possibly in that game.
Hey, look, if Doyle doesn't make an incredible block on the line, Kilkenny probably go to the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, and Tipperary win the All-Ireland, you know, the team that beats them. Are we over-worrying about what they're trying to do in the league?
Maybe. But again, this is the nature of the power rankings. We can only base it on what we've seen so far this year. So this is a snapshot in time of where Kilkenny are right now. And look, I appreciate Adrian Mullen is almost back. He got that thumb injury at the end of the Leinster Championship in the game between Ballyhale Shamrocks and Kilcormac Clough, and that was a horrific injury to pick up in dead time and then basically to miss the vast majority of the league. So he's going to be back. Owen Cody is fit for the start of the league this year, but it is hard to overlook the fact that they've lost some crucial players. Like Billy Ryan is really, really important to how they play in terms of their forward line. He's away. Andy Comfort's obviously a thing that maybe the beach in Dungarvan is just as good as the beach in Sydney. I'm not sure that's quite going to convince the guys who've gone travelling to come back. Hugh Lawler has been the best number three for the last five or six seasons in the entire country. It's difficult to replace him. It's not that Mikey Carey isn't a good player. It's just Hugh Lawler has been so important. He's done such a good job of taking up some of the best forwards in the country and nullifying them in games. You're missing them. We're not quite sure who's going to be in goal. Tallis was great throughout the league, but do you bring the experience, one of the only two All-Ireland winners that are still part of that team right now, and put Murphy back into goal for the championship? I'm not sure. We got a little bit of a sign of what TJ Reid can do when he came in for the Tipperary game at the tail end of the league, but there's just this nagging thing at the back of my mind, which is the most un-Kilkenny like performance of all time was their showing in Salt Hill on the TV against Galway.
Yeah.
We all sat down and thought, right, 6 weeks out from championship, maybe neither team is going to show a huge amount here, and Galway scored 35 points on them. Kilkenny suffer their worst defeat since the 1950s. They don't tend to go down easily in games.
Yeah,
it's the one thing you don't think about Kilkenny.
Yeah.
Yeah, like really, really poor, and like really poor on effort. And I appreciate that afterwards Derek Ling said, look, that is not the team that we are and we need to show something different. And in the Tipperary game, which was a dead rubber, Kilkenny put in a much better performance. So maybe we are kind of overly concerned about Kilkenny's form line because of the way they played that day. But it's kind of hard to shake that off. And it's hard to shake off, look, they lost to Cork, they lost to Limerick. They did finish mid-table and they did manage to stay away from relegation, but this is not the Kilkenny that we've seen from the last few seasons. And with just those question marks over some of the key positions, I think it's perfectly okay to drop them down to page number two, okay, even if they were in the top four in the country last year.
Okay, let's have the big reveal. Page one, top five. There we are. So
it's like our Munster top three you've been picked already, Mick.
Limerick and Cork, who have not won an All-Ireland between them in 3 years, or... and one of them for 21. Limerick are in number one, Cork in two. We'll get to that in a second. The most disrespected All-Ireland champions in a full year, Tipperary, number three. Long grass, All-Ireland champions.
All-Ireland champions
Tip
cannot
will
be the long grass.
Fuming about this. Of course they are. Everyone has Limerick and Cork pencil in, as they have had for years at this stage. And other teams, it turns out, are just as good as them and tend to beat them on a regular basis.
So you can't win with this one, because some Tipperary supporters would have said last year it was almost, expectations were a little bit lower than obviously what happened throughout the season, and the year kind of snowballed and they improved. And even after the league final and the loss against Cork, Tipperary came up a level and worked their way through the championship and go on and win this remarkable All-Ireland final, one of the best second half performances. Say what you want about the way that Cork wilted in the second half, but Tipperary were brilliant that day in the All-Ireland final. So they're All-Ireland champions. They keep basically all of the panel from last season, nobody is left. They bring in some young under-20s and blood them throughout the league this year. Okay, they didn't go to a league final, but still, there was nothing wrong with Tipperary's league campaign whatsoever. I've seen people saying the Tipperary aren't going to get out of Munster. On the Hurling Pod this week, all three of us agree the Tipperary will get through before that charge is thrown against me. I don't get this idea they're in the long grass at all. I think Tipperary are incredibly close to both Cork and Limerick, who were put on top of the power rankings, and I know we'll talk about them in a few minutes, because of what they did at the tail end of the league. But this Tipperary team is excellent. And even you get guys like Stephen Tobin's performance, which we saw during the league, where you go, right, this is another young player who can come in as an option. He can pop over three remarkable points from play. It looks like, again, they've got the formula from last season. They've kind of eased John McGrath back into it a little bit in the last few games. Noel McGrath is still coming off the bench, so they've still got that experience that's there, you know, stretching back to 10 years ago. And at the same time, they also have this core group of young players who are now winners at this stage, Mick. You know, they've won stuff at minor and under 20 All-Ireland level, but they've now got a Celtic Cross in their back pocket as well. I'm sure it's going to help the likes of Darren McCarthy to have got over the line and won an All-Ireland Championship last season. If I was a Tipperary fan, I would be beyond excited. I think what they achieved last season...
Oh, they are beyond excited. They're just angry at the likes of you and the media. Who don't give them they're going to scrape third place in a battle with Clare. Congratulations. What an honour.
I think their project
why are
is
Tip
a
below Limerick and Cork, I suppose, is probably the question they would ask, having won the All-Ireland. But that's fine. I think that's explained. Clare, you've gone for Galway. I don't know whether it's the sneak in a Leinster team or whether it's the fact that Skell's in your ear all the time. But you've gone for the children of Galway versus the old men of Clare. And you've chosen the inexperience ahead of that. Galway at four, Clare at five. Can I make the case for Clare?
Yeah, go on. You made the case first.
Last year, as All-Ireland champions and with injuries, including the current hurler of the year, they didn't have a good Munster Championship. It was the first time they haven't had a good Munster Championship in I don't know how long, 2019, I think. They have the best record in the round robin of any team. It is way more likely that 2025 was an aberration than a trend. And Clare have a knack and an ability to get out of and to play well in the week-to-week basis of the Munster Championship in a way that I don't think Tipperary are proven to have. They have a very up-and-down record in it in a long
you're
time.
You're getting into Donlough territory here now, the rise and fallers.
Well, Donlough says something emotive and therefore he hates Tip and it's going to... I'm talking about the record in the Munster Championship has been up and down. They haven't qualified from it two or three times. They haven't been in a ton of Munster finals. Limerick are the most consistent team, absolutely. They're in the Munster final every year. Cork,
no one could argue about Clare, though. Clare have been excellent in the round robin, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. So I just think if you look at fair enough, they're coming from 1B, but you look at the form of the players that you're in. Shane O'Donnell played one game, a half of one game, plus like 18 minutes early in the league or whatever, and looked to be absolutely at his best again. Tony Kelly didn't play in that game, but actually played very, very well throughout the league. These boys are not all men. They're 31 years of age, I believe, right? They're well able, and they are being supplemented by the likes of Shane Meehan, of who might take that step this year. He might not, but he might. Peter Duggan is playing as well as he has and hasn't always been there for Clare in the last few years. You've got Mark Rogers stepping up more. As a group of forwards, David Fitzgerald, not in the form we'd like him to be in at the moment. He might not start next week against Waterford. He might be a bench option. He might play somewhere else. As a group of forwards, I'd argue there's none better in the country when they're all on fire. Sometimes the issue with Clare sometimes is that there's only one slitter and they can't all have the big game, you know, but that's a wealth of riches that they have to deal with. It's the defence that's the issue. But we haven't seen that defence in full bloom yet. You know, Adam Hogan wasn't playing against Dublin a couple of weeks ago. Davy McInerney wasn't playing against Dublin a couple of weeks ago. We don't exactly know how that's going to formulate. So I'd be just interested to see. I don't think Clare are dead yet. It's like this idea that they're this old, old team. They have older players for sure, but other than John Conlon, there's no players that you would expect to be falling off.
No, and no,
you know
I
what I mean? So I just think it's like, where do they fall? I think they're honestly up there with all four teams in Munster, and I think it's a toss of a coin. I don't envy you doing the rankings, but I have to say, against Galway, I love the look of Galway. I love the development of them over the course of the year, and I love the fact that they're in Leinster, which I think they have a really good chance of winning. I think if you're picking 11 teams and not worried about where they're playing, I find it hard to think that Clare wouldn't beat Galway in a do-or-die game at the moment.
Yeah, look, I probably would fancy them if there was a game tomorrow and both teams had their first 15 and it was an All-Ireland quarterfinal, say. I probably would fancy Clare to beat Galway. But right now, I'm just respecting what Galway have done in the league. Just to talk about Clare first, right? I think this is one of those situations where Division 1B is not going to impact a team. Because I know a few Clare supporters were saying to us in the pod earlier this season, their concern was that Lohan was looking at players who were probably well down the depth, and they were also, you know, mixing and matching the team quite a bit because of the opposition they were playing against. Funnily enough, I think when Clare get back to close to their best 15, which we have a fair idea of at the moment, it's no harm whatsoever because these guys have got the muscle memory of winning in All-Ireland in 2024.
Yeah.
Last season was weird. They got relegated, they got bad injuries, they got injuries to key players, and some of those players that were coming back in just weren't ready in time for the Munster Championship. It's like the Munster Championship got away from them a little bit early last season.
Well, I think this year they're a disaster, you know, because they'd come back and came back from the dead against Cork and got a point that should have been a win. It was that sort of weird. It was like how Cork must have felt in the 2013 All-Ireland final, where they were robbed of the win, but they should have been hammered. And it was and you thought, oh, well, they'll have to build on this. And then they went down to Waterford the following week and were beaten. And you kind of think, oh, there's a long way back now. So it was a weird, and that's not to take away, Waterford won that game. But to your point earlier about Waterford having an early wins, you know, they had targeted that game and they had the first week off. And I do think Waterford are a team that are set up for the targeted game.
Yeah.
You know, like the old Munster Championship. Whereas they're both in the same boat, obviously, this year, and it's in Ennis.
Yeah, look, I'm not the Clare physio, so I don't know exactly what the position is in some of these guys. Like, by all reports, O'Donnell came off as a precaution in the league final a couple of weeks ago.
I wouldn't worry about that at all.
Looks like Mark Rogers kind of rolled his ankle, but he's going to be okay for this weekend. I don't know where Adam Hogan's recovery is now at this stage. So again, it's about some of those key personnel being ready. Skell said he was on Tony Kelly watch by just watching him walking around the Gaelic grounds to check how he looked around the league finals to check he was okay. And apparently he was moving well. So again, if those key personnel are available, that puts Clare into a different position as well. I also, by the way, because some people might say, oh, well, they were in Division 1B and how can we put them here? And how come Dublin maybe don't get more of a bump? Again, I'm respecting the history and I'm respecting where Clare should be at as part of the power rankings here by putting them where they are. And I know you can argue the toss of whether they should be with Galway or not. Galway, I'm with you. I think, look, there's a huge
amount of
potential
there. I really like them. I really do. I think they could win Leinster, and I think that would be such a massive step to build for going forward, you know. But it's just a bit early. I mean, other than the Mannions and Conor Whelan, like, you're building around a load of kids coming through like that. You know, might not be, when it comes to 7 championship games or whatever they might have to do, I think it's a big ask. Like,
It is. Now, Leinster might help them to a certain extent in that, whereby, you know, they should be able to target the games to be really up for, which will be definitely the Kilkenny and Dublin games. They should beat Wexford, Offaly and Kildare. So therefore, there's that kind of little bit of room. And it's, I'm interested to see how Galway develop as the year goes on, because they've got some unbelievable young talent coming through. And I think last year, particularly when Micheál was coming back, I think he wanted to rely on the old guard to a certain extent. And then he wanted to kind of maybe blood some of these players in. Some people in Galway felt, look, there's guys who are ready right now. And we probably would have seen more of Aaron Niland last season if it wasn't for the bad hamstring injury that he got.
Yeah.
But he looks so complete. I've watched him a couple of times this year, watched him under 20s against Wexford. He's like a cheat code when he plays at under 20, but when he plays at senior, it's not like going up that level actually makes a massive difference to him. Rabbit is a lovely kind of physical player, but brings that youth and exuberance into the forward line as well. And the hope would be that when you bring a couple of scoring forwards like them into the forward line, that Cathal Mannion now won't have that dependency that was on him last season. So therefore, okay, he can hit his frees well, he can be a link-up player within the forwards as well, but he's not going to have to score a dozen points to get Galway over the line in the game. I think Galway have got a really high ceiling, but I'm with you, it could be difficult to see if they achieve that within year one. I keep comparing them to Tipperary and Skell tells me to stop. So,
well, maybe, yeah, and if that's the case, we kept saying that Tip were only in year one so many times last year and won the All-Ireland, and it is all very close in hurling. Let's have one last look at the power rankings, because unsurprisingly, I think given what happened in the league final, we have Limerick on top, Cork number two. All joking aside about Tipperary, I don't think there's many people, given what we saw in the league, that would massively argue with you, although there is so many question marks around Cork. The Harvey Norman stat of the week involves both teams.
And it's just their basic conversion rate, Mick, when it comes to the stat of the week, which is remarkable what Limerick do, because, you know, it's 18 out of 19 finals under John Kiely that they have won. So generally, when they get into a winning position, Limerick lay down the hammer at that point. And Limerick fans will be quick to point out as well, they drew the one that they didn't win and lost it on penalties against Cork as well. That's very much the Limerick perspective when it comes to the Munster final last year, that they weren't beaten inside normal time and they weren't beaten within extra time. That is a scary record, really. And Cork, they'll hate me for saying this, but like over the last 20 years, and this isn't counting provincial finals, but national finals when it comes to the league and when it comes to the All-Ireland finals, they've lost 11 out of 12, which is a big problem. Obviously, we talk about the Liam McCarthy drought, but then aside from the league final last season where they beat Tipperary, they've come up short in those finals as well. And it does raise a question mark about whether, when it comes to the really big day, are Cork going to be on it? And they're going to be soul searching right up until the point, if they get back into an All-Ireland final this year, as to what happened in the second half of the final against Tipperary last season. I kind of like Alan Connolly's take on this. Alan Connolly has basically come out bullish again this week. He was doing media early in the week as part of a sponsorship event, and he was kind of going, if we hit our top level, nobody's going to beat us in the country. And we remember Connolly during the league when he said, we want to win every game. Our aim now is to win every game, the league, the Munster Championship and the All-Ireland. And this was seen maybe as, right, this hasn't happened for Cork and therefore we'll use it as something against them. I actually think the attitude within the Cork camp has to be that there's a swagger about them and that they are going to go out and win every game from this point on. I didn't think they were brilliant in the league final. I thought some of their key players were neutralised when it came to the league final against Limerick. But they might not have to beat Limerick to win an All-Ireland.
No, but they'll have to beat themselves. Do you honestly believe, so that like losing 11 out of 12 national finals, now they have won Munster finals in that time, so it is one of those stats that I think, it's not to say it's not interesting, but there's nothing to say those Munster finals weren't huge either, and they've won, I think, 4 or 5 of them in that time, like, so it's not as if they've never showed up on the big day, but there's no bigger day than last year's All-Ireland final. I thought they played well against Clare in 2024. You couldn't massively argue that. They would have thought they could win the game. I think they would have a natural, the Cork jersey would see the saffron and blue and think we're automatically going to win. But I think they lost a good game. Last year, just a bit different. You know, something happened. And every year it goes on, it's going to be a new question and it's going to be harder and harder to get over the line. Alan Connolly says that on their day, they're better than anybody. Is that true? He's right
certainly
to believe
wasn't
it.
The case against.
I think we have a national obsession with overrating Cork.
Ooh. Well, if
that's
it was going
true,
team,
like.
Yeah. If there's any other team we were looking at the moment, Mick, you would have to have a serious question mark about what they're going to do with their half back line and their full back line. And concession within the All Ireland final was a big problem last year. Now, is Kieran Joyce going to be the answer at number three? I thought he had a really good league final, but I just wonder, are you taking Kieran Joyce's other really good factors to his game, the way he can carry the ball, his distribution, and taking that away by putting him into three? Like, putting the two Downies into the halfback line, is that the best way to go about it? Is Rob Downey better at wing back than he is at centre halfback? If these were questions that we had about Tipperary or Limerick, we'd probably be hammering them about it. So sometimes we get excited because we see the swagger that Cork can play with. But they're, to me, fundamental issues. If you don't have your three and six set in stone, and you don't know that that's 100% how it's going to work, and also in the league final as well, Cork lost so many of their own puckouts.
Their tactics
whether they
were
went short, whether they went long.
Yeah, they really were, you know, and I know they have a new manager, and he'll probably figure things out. And I think he's so well thought of, and he seems like a really good character as well, that they'll probably figure it out. You can't write him off, but it has to be taken into account. And then you also add the fact that I know he was of an age, I would say, but nobody's mentioning the fact that this team doesn't have Patrick Horgan anymore. And that's not just a 10 out of 10, except for one in the All-Ireland final, which we won't talk about, but a 10 out of 10 free taker, that is not something to be sneezed at, and teams wait a lifetime for someone like that to come along. But it's also a leader and talisman and, the central point of a team and a group that's psychological. And then you add in the hurling. He scored 3.15 from play last year. Are they going to get another corner forward that's going to just add that in? Not sure. It's not as if Patrick Horgan was just a passenger last year either, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't think that, they don't have that talismanic figure. And also, in Patrick Horgan's case, how often he turned up in big games, crucially for them as well. And that's what was missing in the league final. You looked at the team that they had named and you kind of go, wow, you know what, they still have an incredible wealth of talent in that forward line. And yeah, I mean, if it all clicks, like it did in the All-Ireland semi-final last year, look at some of the incredible hurling that they played against Dublin. But that was when they were given the space to be able to do so.
I don't mean to be funny, but we're talking about levels, and it's completely true. And, Dublin, all due respect, they didn't show up themselves that day, which made it a lot worse. But we were talking about kind of where this jumps, and Dublin can obviously have a big result against someone, but they have to be a little bit off, I think, the way Limerick were. But if we're putting Limerick, Cork almost definitely in that bracket, and then we'll say Tip can join them, and then we're arguing the toss about Galway, Clare and Kilkenny, right? Nobody below them we think can match. So Cork did that to Dublin. Obviously, they're a firepower style team. They can do that to teams. That's understood. They met Limerick in the Munster final, bet them on penalties in a game that they should have won easily. You know, they were hammered to Limerick. The only time Limerick really looked like Limerick last year. They threw away a 10 or 12 point lead against Clare. Just put together what they actually did last season. They had the big win against Tip for sure, right? Which is undone by what happened in the All-Ireland final. But other than that, is it actually, what, did they have a big win against Tip? Was that the year? But that was the year before, wasn't it? But they beat Tip last year, yeah.
No, they beat Tipperary twice, and in both games there was kind of mitigating factors. So the Darren McCarthy red card obviously led somewhat to it. And funnily enough, I thought the way the Tipperary dug in Porky Queen.
That's
that
right,
day,
sorry, yeah. They got the, they had an early huge lead. Sorry, I was mixing up with the year before they beat them out the gate in a really kind of embarrassing day for Tip. But yeah, this year was more the red card before the throw-in completely changed the game as well. So that was another thing to look at. Again, I this is going to sound like I'm like Cork should be number 7 on the power rankings or anything like that. I absolutely don't think that. I think they have a really good chance of winning the All-Ireland, and Alan Connolly should be thinking, and the group should be thinking that way. I'm just wondering if I'm just trying to say, let's think about it as opposed to just getting caught up in this idea that Cork, on their day, they only have to beat themselves. Or they only have themselves to beat. I just don't know about that. And Limerick are number one, and they look like, I've been really impressed with Limerick so far. And if they have that mixture of experience, and they have Galan and Hegarty being their two best forwards the other day with the form of O'Neill and English and O'Brien and everything else, we could be looking at another wave for Limerick here.
Yeah, I think so. And I think as well, it's unfair to this idea that, Cork are only in their own heads and they're actually, they're the best team if they play to the absolute top. The reality is that other teams can stifle them. If you look at what happened All-Ireland final last year, there's no way I would have thought that Willie Connors would be dropping back in to do a job in Declan Dalton, but he did. And Tipperary believed that they had a guy who could go in and disrupt the system. And, they had Ronan Marra go in and do a really good job around Hayes, and they interchanged around the Cork forwards. And I thought Tipperary did a really good lockdown performance on Cork within that final. So you can say that Cork can hit the top level and are brilliant when they do, but teams have shown that they can stop them. And even with the Limerick game recently in the league final, if Dermot Burns doesn't play a crazy and ill-thought-out pass on his left-hand side to give Hayes a goal for free, Limerick were so in the ascendancy at the point that Cork had got that goal that Limerick could have really put the foot down within that league final. Didn't quite happen, but I'm with you. Limerick have been like really, really impressive this season, and they've kind of got to that point now where Declan Hannan is gone. They've decided the Willow Dunhu is going to be sixth. That seems to be now settled at this point. The last day, kind of quietly, they were able to bring some of the players back in. So you've got Peter Casey coming back to fitness. You had Darragh Donovan, who we thought was going to miss most of Munster, just kind of quietly come on, get a little bit of a cameo within the game. And some of those players that you've just listed a few minutes ago, like Adam English, like Cathal O'Neill, who have picked up All-Ireland medals, but maybe weren't the central figures yes. because they were a little bit young, have now become really key players within the team. So like even at the league final itself, I think it was 13 of the 15 from the Munster final last season that were named, and they've got to that point now where I think John Kiely and Paul Kinnerk have got a really well settled group, but they can bring someone in, whether that be an O'Connor. You put him on the freeze, you see the way he played throughout the league this season with some of his play from open play as well. All they have to do is get one or two players in, and next thing it feels like everything is refreshed. But the core group of the players who have won everything are still there at the same time as well. I certainly didn't believe this idea at the tail end of last year that Limerick were some kind of washed force, because we knew that a lot of these young players were there. The vast majority went on and won a Fitzgibbon this season with UL as well. Like I just think there's a lovely blend with Limerick right now.
Yeah. Sean Finn was really good in the league final, probably the first time since he's done his crew shit. You had Dermot Burns looking a game that suited him, I would say. Kyle Hayes, that half back line is still unbelievable. So yeah, Limerick number one, universal approval from the one person in studio. We will have two people, I think, in most weeks, but we'll talk about that again. Will, I don't think we'll have time to go through all 11 teams every week, but in the detail we did today, but it was nice to have the full chat anyway. We will do this every week. We'll see all 10 of the 11 teams. Limerick, the only team not playing this week, so we'll have a lot more to talk about, and I'm sure a lot of movement in the rankings, the Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA. Will, thank you.
Good stuff. See you next week.
The Power Rankings on Off the Ball with Harvey Norman, official stats sponsor of the GAA.